Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody could ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's a
Hello, everybody. Happy draft day, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. I am John Schmelk, blessed to be joined today on draft day by Matt Sitak. Matt, we have been at this for a long time, getting ready for today. The day is finally here, and I am excited to stop talking about what might happen and talk about what will happen.
Yes, very excited to see, you know, which top prospect we add to the Giants tonight. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and I think the exciting thing is that who the Giants are able to add, they have no control over, because what happens to five picks in front of them is really going to dictate what the Giants do at six. So let's start there. Gut feeling right now, what do you think is going to happen in the first five picks before the Giants go at six?
Okay, well, the growing, you know, buzz report, I would say the last day or two, we've all seen the reports, have said that the Giants are trying to move up, you know, from six to potentially three. It seems like from these reports that there's one quarterback in particular that, you know, they, at least analysts, reporters, think the Giants have their eyes set on in Drake May. I think
the Giants have done a good job, by the way, keeping their cards close to the vest and not really letting out there who their favorite quarterback is.
Yes, which is also why, you know, I see these reports and I take them with a little bit grain of salt.
Bingo.
Because for months, Joe Shane has, you know, kept the cards close to his vest, has spoken about how he's keeping the cards close to the vest, you know, for the 24 hours leading up to the draft, for all of a sudden everyone to know what the Giants' plans are. Don't know if I totally buy it. I think there might be some validity to it, but again, as you mentioned, it all depends on what, you know, in this case, New England would be willing to do. If they're not willing to trade out or asking for an absolute king's ransom to move up, then it may not be worth it. So my gut feeling as of right now, they stay at six and they take whoever the top wide receiver is. If Marvin Harrison is there somehow, I think that will be the pick immediately. I don't think, unfortunately, he'll be there. I think he will go at the very least five, if not four, to Arizona. If it comes down to it, my personal opinion, I think they're going to take Rome Odunze.
Over Neighbors. Interesting. I'm on the other side of that. I think they will pick Neighbors. I think he's their, this coaching staff's type of receiver. But I do think Odunze fits in the wide receiver room better. So I do think that there's a really good argument both ways. Both players, I mean, what do I have right here? I can show, I'll go through my board quickly before we get the calls here. I have Neighbors as my fourth player, Odunze as my eighth player. So they're like right there. They're, I mean, if I look at my actual grades, I think they're 0.03 points away from each other or something ridiculous like that. I have Neighbors at a 7.2 and Odunze is a 6.89. So they're 0.3 points on the same grading scale NFL.com uses away from each other. So they're very, very tight. I get that either way. I'm with you, and I think it's important to understand why the theory behind those reports to me makes sense. And this is what we've been trying to explain throughout this process. This isn't about, oh, we just need a quarterback no matter what. We're just picking one because, you know, Daniel's hurt. We need a new guy. That's not why you draft a quarterback. You draft a quarterback because you think the guy is special. And you think the guy can be one of those top seven, top eight quarterbacks in the league. And odds are, that the Giants are not going to think all four or six, depending on how you want to tier them, of these top quarterbacks can be that guy. So if whatever that guy is available, go try and get him. I got no problem with it. I'm curious to see what happens at 4 and 5 here, Matt. If one of those teams in quarterback alley, Broncos, Vikings, Raiders, move up to 4 or 5, and how that changes who the Giants might have available to them at 6. Because if neither one of those teams move up, which I find, I know I feel like people have been pulling back from that trade happening over the last couple days. The Vikings, they've made no secret about how desperate they are to draft a quarterback. They just haven't. I would be shocked if they don't move up to 4 or 5 to draft a quarterback. My gut tells me more likely Chargers than Cardinals, just because of the way the franchise are kind of set up right now. But we'll see. I'm with you. I think we kind of have the same read on exactly how this is going to look. I think the first 7 players that get drafted will all be offensive players. I think the 8th player could be defensive to the Falcons. I think there's a good chance that they trade out and another team trades up into that 8th spot to try to get that last wide receiver. I think that's very possible, if that wide receiver's still there at 8. I know some people are coming in late with their ideas that the Titans might not pick Joe Alt. They might pick a wide receiver at 7. Or the Chargers and the Cardinals both pick receivers at 4 and 5. Then the Giants get the last guy left at 6. And then maybe all those guys are off the board. And then maybe the Vikings can sit and pick at 11 and get McCarthy. Though I would think the Broncos would try to kind of slide in front of them to grab him. So I think we are going to get some type of trades in the top 10. Let's play that. 1.5 trades in the top 10. Over or under?
Over.
You think more than 1.5?
I think one team is going to trade up to get the 4th quarterback.
I agree.
In that 4-5 range, and I agree that I tend to think it's going to be more likely that it's the Chargers that trade down, since everyone seems to think they could take a receiver and they certainly need one, but because of Jim Harbaugh's philosophy, a lot of people think they're going to go offensive tackle, and if they trade down to, you know, even 11, 12, 13, they're still going to get a very, very good offensive tackle in addition to stockpiling more picks. So
heck, they can always take Brian Thomas Jr. if they like him that much in that spot too.
True. That's true. So I do think one team will move up for a quarterback, and then I think we're going to see another trade up potentially for that 3rd wide receiver, as you mentioned.
I've not finalized this yet. I always do a mock draft. I take a picture of it, and then I'll show it after the draft is over to see how stupid I am. Right now, in what I've kind of put together here, I have the Colts trading up ahead of the Jets to draft Bowers.
I can see that.
8 with the
Falcons.
I could
definitely see that. I could see the Colts. I mean, that the Colts apparently love Bowers and would be an amazing fit in that offense.
They already
well.
Have some receivers. They have Pittman. They drafted the small guy out of North Carolina last year. Who's
Josh Downs.
Thank you, Josh Downs. Your name escapes me. And they have Ricky Pierce, too, outside. So they do have guys there that can play. And I think a tight end would fit perfectly into that.
100%. Group. I mean, there have also been reports about how the Jets might move up from 10 to try to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. or one of the other, you know, top receivers. I've seen similar reports that the Bears could try to jump from 9 to, let's say, 7 in order to get the 3rd wide receiver, whoever's left between the top 3 guys.
And I've also heard the Bears might try to slide down. They only have 4 picks.
They could slide
right
down.
Now.
Yeah.
So they could always take a slide down and try to pick up some extra picks. If they're not obsessed with one of these receivers, you know, they can get a really good, they can get Byron Murphy or one of the, maybe the top pass rusher in the draft, whichever they would, one of the top edge guys, whoever they would like if they drop down into that, you know, 14, 13, 14 area. So
yeah.
I think a lot of possible movement in that area.
I think
like
the Saints could try to move up to try to secure the top or one of the top tackles.
They out of all the teams that have them and the Titans have two of the clearest needs to me in this draft, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Badly.
Agreed. So I'm sticking with over 1.5.
I agree with you. I'm a 1 over.
I mean,
too.
I don't know if you saw Daniel Jeremiah put a tweet out this morning.
Oh, I did not.
A couple hours ago that said someone asked him like craziest reports that you're hearing of what madness could happen tonight. And he said that he thinks there is at least a chance, or he's hearing buzz, that to start, New England trades with Minnesota, moving down from 3 to 11. New England then moves back up to 4 with Arizona to try to get J.J. McCarthy. Minnesota moves up for May. New England moves back up to 4 for J.J. McCarthy. Arizona drops down to 11. And then Arizona moves up from 11 to 5 to try to get Marvin Harrison. with the Chargers then moving back to 11.
How much would the Patriots really net, though? You know what I mean? Like, how much more will they get, you know, going from 3? So what, they would go from 3 to 6 and then go from...
No, 3 to 11 and then 11 to 4. So,
like, how much more would they get than they give up in that trade? Yes. You know, would they net, like, one third round pick or some stupid thing like that?
Dan Salamone and I were talking about this exact thing, and I mean, I would expect what you would net from if you were just to move from 3 to 4.
It's like maybe a two, maybe a three.
Like,
I mean, I guess it makes sense if you can pull it off, but that's a lot of work for one day.
Yeah, I don't think all of that is going to happen. I don't see Arizona trading down because they already have 11 draft picks in this draft.
They
have a lot of picks. They need an elite receiver. I think our pick at 6 would be the furthest they'd be willing to move down, because then you still get your elite wide receiver to give Kyler. And, you know, maybe if they do make a move down, whether it's to 6, to 11, 12, I think they're going to look to try to get picks next year. Because how many more picks do you need if you already have 11 in this year's draft, including 2 first-round picks?
And to me, where this draft really gets interesting, and this is what I'm keeping an eye on, I don't think the Patriots are picking a quarterback. I don't think them trading out of that spot's very realistic. I just don't think their ownership group will allow them to leave this first round without a quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen. But what will make things interesting is if they say, you know what worked out for us last time? Picking a slightly underrated, underappreciated quarterback out of Michigan that has really good intangibles. And that's what we're going to do again. Heck, maybe the Crafts overrule Elliot Wolf. I don't know. However it goes down, if they pick McCarthy and May is there at 4, then all bets are off.
I was going to say things are going to get wild then.
Because I think you're going to have multiple teams further back trying to get up.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could have teams closer trying to get up. Maybe a team that we're close to. So I think that if you want to see Monty Ossenfort's phone blow up, he better have like 3 or 4 different lines ready to go. Drake May gets the 4, look out. That pick will get moved to somebody for a absolute haul of picks.
How much do you think it would cost the Giants to move up if that happens from 6 to 4 in this exact scenario? Because obviously, as Joe mentioned in his press conference yesterterday, unfortunately, there's a premium tax when it comes to trading up for a quarterback. If they know you're taking a quarterback, that other team is going to ask for a little bit more than what they normally would. You know, I've seen mock drafts that had the Giants moving from 6 to 4, giving up, I think it was a third round pick this year and a second round pick next year. I don't think that's would be enough.
I think
in
the conversation, I believe, begins with your first round pick next year
to move up 2 slots.
And then what else are you going to remember? And then what else are you going to give me?
That's a lot to move up 2 spots. But again,
but here's the thing: you have to beat the other best offer.
Yes,
that's the trick, right? It's not like if you're the only team that's interested in doing this, right? Then no, then you might be able to get away with, you know, 2 twos or something like that, right? But if you're competing with other teams, you know, the Broncos called and they're like, "Oh, we'll give you our 1 next year. We'll give you Patrick Surtain." Vikings call up and say, "We're going to give you 3 ones, 2 this year, 1 next year." Right?
Yeah.
Does a 2 twos, even though it's only a 2 spot slide down, I mean, the Falcons might say, well, we're going to try to move back up with the Chargers then. And that's going to be much less expensive because you're not trading up for a quarterback. Right?
Yeah.
So unlike the Patriots in the previous scenario, a quarterback's still involved there. So that's still going to get the tax. But if that's the 4th quarterback and then you're moving up to 5 to pick a non-quarterback, you don't get that extra tax on it. So I think you actually probably could still net, if you're the Cardinals, maybe even a first round pick, if you make those 2 moves, right? So I think if May is there at 4, I think if the Giants wanted to move up, I think it's the conversation starts at next year's 1, and you hope you don't have to give up this year's 2. You hope you can hold on to this year's 2, and you only have to give up your 3.
And look, I stick by what I said a minute ago, that it is a lot to give up to move up 2 spots. However, if you're moving up to get your franchise quarterback, and he ends up being the franchise quarterback, there's not enough picks that you could trade. Like,
to quote Brandon Bean, if the guy works out, no one's going to care what you gave up for him.
Exactly.
And if he doesn't, you're all losing your jobs anyway.
I mean, we're you know, this is like 20 years almost to the day that the Giants made the big draft day trade for Eli Manning.
Does anyone care what they gave up for Eli in that trade?
No,
right now?
I don't. No one would. Not many people even like remember. They just said, "Oh, gave up a lot of picks." You know, the first round the next year.
Great trade.
Great trade. Because not only you got two Super Bowls, and also we're not going to get into this, but that 2005 draft was like the best draft in Giants history, yeah, potentially, with only four picks, none of which in the first round.
You got 15 years where you're competing for a playoff spot every single year, yeah, for the most part, except for a few years at the end, which, you know, did not go well.
So, yeah, look, if the Giants decide that Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, whatever quarterback it is,
yes,
is the guy that can take them to where this franchise wants to go, then it does not matter the picks you give up. You do it, you don't think twice, and you get your guy.
Yep,
100%. But as we've talked about in the past, you need to have conviction about the guy, which I'm sure they're not making that move unless they do have that conviction.
So. Yeah, and we were just talking about the reports that are out there. We have no idea which quarterback they really like, and you haven't had any really sourced reporting on that either out there either. Just kind of referencing vaguely.
Yeah, we've seen reports about all three of the quarterbacks past Caleb Williams, even some saying connecting the Giants to Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Five different quarterbacks, so things are going to get pretty interesting tonight, one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think all these teams this year, more than any other, Matt, we really don't know what these teams are going to do. Spare maybe the Commanders at one. I think we all think Jaden Daniels at two, but I don't know.
You never know.
I'm not sure about that. The Commanders, I think, have been more quiet about that than people think. And mm-hmm. I think people are kind of assuming. But we'll see. I'm really interested to find out. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. We are going to be live tonight, folks. Paul Dottie and I will come on as soon as the Giants make their pick, whether it's at 6, if they move up in a trade, move back, which is also a possibility, move back a few spots, maybe still get a receiver, pick up an extra middle-round pick. We'll be live for half an hour. That's the only amount of time the NFL lets us come on. So we'll be live for half an hour after the Giants make their pick, and that'll eventually go up on the Giants Huddle podcast feed. And then Tony Pauline and I, when the draft is over tonight, we will record our first round draft review. That'll go up on the Draft Season podcast feed. So make sure you check out those two podcasts, Draft Season and the Giants Huddle podcast, by the way. You can find them on the Giants mobile app, giants.com/podcast, or just search for Draft Season or Giants Huddle on your favorite podcast platform. And if you happen to be an Apple podcast, leave that 5-star positive review for whichever podcast you listen to, whether it's Big Blue Kickoff Live, the Giants Huddle, or Draft Season. It really helps our visibility and gets more people on our podcast. So I want to make sure you guys go check that out. Before we get to the calls, Matt, would you like to kind of finalize my little big board here? Would you like to hear some of the highlights of it?
Yes, let's hear it.
I would love for you to pick it apart, which is kind of fun. So I ended up having a full set of notes and a true grade on 140 players.
Wow.
I got to 140. It's the most I've ever gotten to.
That's impressive.
Pretty proud of myself. It's about four, with the compensatory picks, it's about four rounds worth of picks, give or take.
All so, this while the Knicks are in the playoffs?
I know, it's tough.
Wow.
I know. It's a lot of multitasking. But I got around four rounds worth of players. I got another, I think I have a list over there. I think there's another like 8 or 9, 10 guys I want to get to. All the top guys are done. So if I can get to those before day two starts tomorrow night, that'll be good. I'll get above 150. Closer to maybe five rounds worth of guys, and I'll feel pretty happy with myself. But more so than ever, I usually have around like 17, 18 first-round players. I got the 24 this year.
Wow.
I got the 24. Now, there are some guys that I have borderline on. So I'll go through it real quick. I want to make sure we have time for calls. So my blue-chip guys, I have 6, all right? In this order, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, Jaden Daniels. Those are my 6. My next 4, which I call red players, there, I would consider them top 10 players in any year. Those top guys, I would consider top 5 players in any year, okay? So, top 10 players in any year, Bowers and Odunze, touching, literally, but I have Bowers with a slightly higher grade, believe it or not. But again, position value, I would pick Odunze before I pick Bowers. Olufashinu, and then J.C. Latham snuck into my red trip group. All right, so that's my top 10. I think last year, I only got to like 4 or 5 players with both those groups combined. So I almost have twice as many guys in this year's class. Then you get to my true round one guys, all right? Here's what I have in order. Byron Murphy ended up being my top defensive player.
Not surprised.
He's my next highest player at 11. This is going to be a bit of an upset to people. I have Amarius Mims at 11.
Okay, that is a bit of a surprise.
I think I know he's only started, less than 10 games. His tape is that good and he's that good of an athlete. So I believe in the player. I might live to regret that one. But that's where I have him when all is said and done. I got Dallas Turner and Quinion Mitchell their grades are literally touching. I think I have Mitchell rated a little higher, but the edge factor, more important position, nudges Turner ahead of Mitchell. Then I have Talaese Fuaga as the next guy at 15. Terrion Arnold at 16. Troy Faltanu at 17. I have Latu and Verse. Again, their grades are also pretty much touching back-to-back. Then I have J.J. McCarthy checking in at 20. Chop Robin. And this is now this is where I get to my I could have put these guys in my round 1/2 borderline area, but I decided that man, I was in a good mood yesterday. I decided to be generous. So I have Chop Robinson at 21.
Okay.
I have Brian Thomas Jr. at 23. I have Tyler Guyton at 24 as a real kind of hit or miss, high-end traits, but still needs a little bit of work. And then I have Nate Wiggins at 25. So I'm sorry, I have 25 first-round grades. So Nate Wiggins snuck in as my
22?
Last guy at 25.
Who was after Brian?
Jackson Powers Johnson at 22. I'm sorry. So Chop Robinson, 21. Jackson Powers Johnson, 22. Brian Thomas, 23. I know there's been some injury stuff on Jackson Powers Johnson with concussions. Guys, hell if I know. I know he's a really good player. So, and then Guyton at 24, and then Wiggins at 25 are my guys that I have in the first round. Anyone in that legit first round things would you say does not belong there or you think is in the wrong order?
I mean, based on, you know, what I said before, I personally think Odunze belongs in that top category.
It was tough to keep him out of that. It was very tough.
Yeah. I mean, his production, his, you know, what he did at the combine, how he tested, his character, like it seems like he just has it all. And I've been saying this for the last like month or so, but when you're being compared, you know, there are all these expert player pro comparisons for all these prospects that we see in the lead up to the draft. When your pro comparisons are Larry Fitzgerald and Davante Adams, have to be a pretty, pretty good prospect. So Odunze, I think, belongs in that first category. I agree with J.C. Latham.
There's
a lot of buzz as of the last, you know, this week, really. He could be the first offensive tackle taken.
I saw Daniel Jeremiah had him number one, and I have him in my final mock. I have the Chargers trading down to 11 and then picking him there.
Yeah, there were a few mock drafts from, like, the big-name NFL analysts that came out today or yesterday that have the Chargers taking J.C. Latham.
And for the record, I had this done before those came out, just for the record, so I'm not just jumping on people's backs. But, you know, the thing I love about him, dude, like, you watch him on tape. First of all, he's just freaking gigantic, right? Yeah. And he's a pretty good athlete for a guy that's gigantic. He gets those arms extended, latches onto you, and he's like he's got meat hooks. And once he gets his hands on the inside of your shoulder pads, you ain't getting off. And he will just lock you down and you ain't moving. And he does that better than anybody else in this offensive line group after him, at least to me.
That's fair.
All right. Anybody else in that from 11 to 25 area that you think I was a little too generous to or I was a little mean to?
Look
at it right there.
Yeah. Well, the Chop Robinson at 21, I believe you said.
Yes.
I feel like that might be a little bit generous.
A little generous. Okay.
A little generous. I think Latu, you know, I know Latu himself has some injury concerns, medical history, but I think him and even maybe Jared Verse, there's a slightly bigger gap between those two.
Okay.
And Chop Robinson. Robinson, I think, is going to be very good, and I do think he will be end of the first round pick.
Fair enough.
Who else? Let's see.
And again, remember, that's where I told you that's where if I wanted to put in the more stringent guidelines, he would slide into that 1/2 territory.
And I know you mentioned it before with Mims, but I personally have Fuaga and Fatino above Mims.
And most people do.
Those are two of my favorite offensive line prospects.
Yeah, there's some late word about Faltanu and some knee issues too with medical stuff.
Oh, that I have not seen.
I don't know. Again, I can't speak to medicals, guys. I'm just relaying reports that I'm seeing on that from people that I would trust online. But there is word that he might be sliding a little bit.
Okay,
in the first
I didn't know that.
Which would stink, because watch, he'll get to Dallas at 24 and then they'll end up taking him, which would be, you know, then you have another all-pro guard there for the
next seriously,
years.
Guy guard or potentially
or tackle. Yeah, you imagine him.
And he's going to be great wherever he is.
Imagine him and Tyler Smith playing again.
That's great.
No, thank you. Please pass.
But I really like Fuaga.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, honestly, if I'm the Jets at 10, I know there's all this buzz about Brock Bowers, maybe one of the receivers falling to them. But if I'm them, I'm taking one of these top offensive tackles, whether it's Fuaga or
Fatino. I've just taken Fashanu at 10.
Yeah, Fashanu, like...
Is that one guy that could play left tackle because of Tyron Smith injury history? And he's the one guy that's been at left. You know what I mean? Fuag has been a right guy, right tackle guy, and even Latham has been. That's why I gave him Fashanu a 10 in my little mind.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, they're relying on two 33-year-old tackles to protect the 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Like,
and the other thing, protection. Too, the reason I put Mims higher, he's played so few games, I feel like it's easier to move him to left tackle because he just hasn't played as much. So he doesn't have as much of the stuff to switch over.
Yeah,
might be
that's
stupid,
fair.
But that's the way I thought about
last
it.
Last guy I just want to very quickly touch on, Byron Murphy. He's going to be great. I think he's going to – I agree with you that he's going to be the first defensive player taken.
Oh, do you really?
I do. I think he's going to go 8 or 9. I was talking to one of my friends who's a big Bears fan, and I said, I know there's all this buzz about Odunze, you know, one of the receivers, dropping you guys at 9. But if I'm you guys, I'm taking Byron Murphy and not thinking twice about it. I think he's going to be a stud, and putting him on a defensive line with Montez Sweat, that's going to be scary.
Yeah, and then my first round 1/2 guys, which is kind of like borderline 2 rounds, I have another 7 guys in that group. Graham Barton, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry with their tags kind of touching.
Mm-hmm.
Jerzon Newton, your guy, checking in at 29.
Oh, yeah.
A.D. Mitchell at 30.
Okay.
Again, there's some maybe off-the-field stuff, character, football character stuff that I'm not in meetings with these guys. I don't know. So that might push him down, but I think the tape's awesome. And then I have Jordan Morgan and Kingsley Suamataia with their tags touching at 31 and 32 as the last two offensive tackles.
All right, so one guy I want to ask about that I think belongs in this last category
you just
talked about. Xavier Worthy.
I'm not huge on Worthy. I don't even have him as my next wide receiver.
Really?
Do I know where I have Xavier Worthy on my wide receiver stack?
I do.
10.
Number 10.
I have
wow.
Him 10. I have him as a solid second rounder. I have 5 receivers in my second round, but he is my...
Wow.
I have Ricky Pearsall as my 6th wide receiver. Troy Franklin as my 7th.
Okay.
Ladd McConkey is my 8th. Roman Wilson is my 9th. And then Xavier Worthy is number 10.
I mean, those are all... great receivers.
Shows you
very
what,
solid
shows
guys.
You what a great class it is.
Yeah, the depth of wide receiver position this year is insane.
In last year's class, Xavier Worthy probably would have been a first round pick. And you know what? He might be a top 20 pick this year. Some team might fall in love with that speed and pick him that high. And look, I think any of these receivers in the second round, let me bring up my thing right now. And I can tell you exactly where I have them graded out. Do I have it up here? I will bring it up. Oh, yeah, I should have it printed out here. So if you look at my wide receiver rankings, just in terms of grades to show how close they are, I mean, they are touching here, dude. Pearsall, 6'3", 9. Franklin, 6'3", 8. McConkey, 6'3", 7. Wilson, 6'3", 4. And Xavier Worthy, 6'3", 3. So they are, like, packed in there like sardines. And I think they're all, you know, and I have another category. You get the second round picks, then you have round 2/3. So I think all 5 of those guys are, like, top half of the second round guys for me. Like, they'll all be gone by pick 50. You know what I mean?
At least
if I was drafting, they would all be gone by pick 50.
I agree, and I think, you know, there are a couple of other guys that you could potentially see go before pick 50 from
your
the wide receiver.
Your man Xavier Leggett, for example. Keon Coleman wasn't even in that stack for me.
What about, like, Jalen Polk? I love Jalen Polk.
I have him in the 3rd round with Jalen McMillan and Leggett, and I have Malachi Corley. Dude, you know who's really good? Javon Baker from Central Florida is actually a really good receiver. Devontae Walker from North Carolina. I mean, dude, it was tough stacking those receivers. I mean, it was really, really, really hard. I ended up having Javon Baker a lot higher than I thought. And it's funny, I put more into tape work than testing this year in terms of this sort of stuff, and Baker's testing wasn't great. I worry about the small school guys that they don't get sometimes, like the Olympic training that some of these other guys do in terms of like the raw times. So, I mean, I gave, after Roman Wilson and Worthy, I have Baker, Corley, Coleman, Walker, Jermaine Burton, whose tape, by the way, is unbelievable. If it wasn't for his off-the-field, frankly, terrible things that he's done, some of which are very public on TV, so it's not like we're making this stuff up, he would have been right in the middle of that second-round stack with these other guys. Jalen McMillan, Xavier Leggett, and Jalen Polk all have third-round grades or better. It's unbelievable how good this class is.
If the Giants were to go quarterback in the first round, even trading up, if you tell me we could get one of those guys in the 3rd round, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah,
I would be so happy.
And one of those guys, look, you're not going to have 9 receivers picked in the 2nd round, so one of those guys is probably going to be there for you.
That is true.
All right, 201-939-4513. We got a half-hour calls here for you guys, and maybe we'll, if Dom has a few minutes, maybe we'll go a couple minutes long to try to squeeze some more in. Dom, you good? Perfect. All right, so maybe we'll go a little bonus time here today as well. We want to try to go rapid fire, get in as many calls as you can, what you think the Giants should do, why. We'll move on, we'll give our little take, and we'll try to zip through as many calls as we can. This was a fun little exercise today, though. Let's go to Josh in North Carolina. I got some new names here. I like that. Josh, what's going on?
What's up, man? So my pick for the Giants is definitely going to be Roma Dunze. I just like his size. And we already have Wandale, who's good with the yak from what I've seen in the small sample size we have. And then also, you know, Jalin Hyatt taking the top off the defense. And it'll give Daniel Jones at least one more chance to prove himself. And we already built up the offensive line. So get like one big boy receiver out there for Danny Dimes, and we should be good.
Good argument. Josh, appreciate the call. Look, I think you made a great case for why Odunze would be the right fit with this group.
Yeah. I mean, you have the speed guy. You have the smaller, over-the-middle guy. Odunze, you know, what is it, 6'3", 212 pounds. I believe weighed in around that officially. That's a big boy who knows how to go up there and make those contested catches, which is, I feel like that's something, not this regime, but when the Giants went out and signed Kenny Golladay, that's what they thought they were getting.
Kenny Golladay doesn't move like this guy moves.
Oh, no, definitely not. But just that type of receiver is what I think the Giants thought they were getting. Obviously, that did not work out how they would have hoped, but Odunze, he's a perfect fit. He really is. On the field, off the field, I love him. And I know that Washington offense was filled with talent all over the place. Yeah. From the quarterback position, the wide receiver room, the offensive line. There are so many guys who are going to hear their names called and within the first, I would say, 2 days.
And their running back and tight ends are going to get drafted on day three also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This offense is great. But, I mean, I said it before when my gut prediction, Odunze at six, I would be happy with that.
I'm more than happy with that too. Again, really, really good player. Hugo in New Jersey is up next. Hugo, what's going on?
Hey, guys, good afternoon. I guess I got to lead by thanking you and your whole team there for the great work during this draft cycle.
Thank you.
You're certainly going to make the next 3 days more exciting based on the amount of education you've given us, the, I guess, unintended consequences that even day three becomes kind of stressful to all your content. Anyhow, what should the Giants do? Well, I think if Drake May somehow becomes available based on what the top three teams do, I think a trade up for Drake May should be a consideration. Otherwise, at six, I would take Neighbors. And that suggests the following, that if either May, Marvin Harrison, or Neighbors are not available at six, that's a scenario where I would consider a trade back.
How far back are you willing to go, Hugo?
Well, 11 seems to be sort of what everyone kind of simulates in these trade-down scenarios, but let's just call it early teens. I would cross my fingers that either Odunze or Bowers drop. I think that's highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But then I would flip to some of my favorite players, and you've mentioned them, Byron Murphy, Quinyon Mitchell, you haven't mentioned this guy as a potential guy in the teams, but Troy Fautano, because I think he could be a Pro Bowl guard and really a long-term insurance policy for Evan Neal.
I think all those picks would be good, Hugo.
John, I may not be able to call in tomorrow, but
yes.
Could I give you some of my second-day favorites
quickly?
Yeah,
real quick.
Max Melton, Christian Haynes, and Ricky Pearsall. And if either Blake Corum, Theo Johnson, or Ben Sinat make it to the top of the fourth, I would be very happy.
Sounds good. Appreciate the call, my friend.
Thanks, Hugo.
I have a second, third round grade on Sinat. I think he's very good. He's my second highest rated tight end. I'm a big Ben Sinat guy.
I like Ben Sinat. I mean, Hugo mentioned Theo Johnson. He's another huge guy. I think he's 6'6".
It's funny. He's one of those guys, and maybe because he takes long strides or whatever, and this happened with me a couple years ago. Remember the big guy, the big tight end from Virginia, who was like 6'7 and 270, but he ran like a 4.8 at the combine. I forget the guy's name. He's on the Colts. He hasn't worked out. I forget the guy's name. And he had this great time. Then I went back and I watched the tape, and I'm like, you don't look fast. And I go back and I watch Theo Johnson. I'm like, dude, you should look faster based on your testing. And I don't know what it is. I couldn't get there with Theo Johnson. I have a day three grade on him.
Yeah, so. I feel like we kind of saw it last year with the Darnell Washington.
Yeah.
They're like monster size guy. And he ended up in Pittsburgh, I believe. And didn't have, you know, that
great of a rookie season. That's not to say he won't end up working out. But just for what Hugo brought up about
Jelani Woods. That's the tight end I was thinking of.
But what Hugo mentioned about trading back, I mean, Joe Shane said it in the press conference last week. It's certainly something that they are considering. But if I am the Giants, I don't know if I would drop past 12. I think 12 would be my absolute floor, preferably 11 to Minnesota if they are moving up, let's say, for QB4.
Yeah.
And if you could get, you know, 11 and 23 for 6 and, you know, maybe third round pick or something like 4, whatever.
I mean, if you do the math on, I think 11 and 23 is about right from a math perspective. So.
Looking at the trade value chart, I think that would be a little more. But yeah, quarterback premium.
I did that with Lance and Howard yesterday. I think, actually, according to the chart, I think you actually have to send a 2 back. But with the quarterback premium, maybe you could make it a 3 and get away with it.
Yeah, so if... As Hugo mentioned, if the top 3 quarterbacks are gone, if Marvin Harrison, you know, Malik Nabers, or even just Marvin Harrison is gone, I'd certainly consider it. Move back to 11 and 23, but with the stipulation that I would then try to move back up from 11 to maybe 8 to try to still get that third wide receiver. Which basically, if you then do all the math, it's basically only going to cost you... Or you're going to end up with your second round pick basically becoming that second first round pick. So from 47 to 23 and no third round pick.
So is that worth all the effort, I think, is the question. I think you're in effect trading your second and third round picks for 23.
Yeah. I mean, would you do that?
So you're
to move up from 47 to 23 and it would cost you 70.
But you'd also move down then from 6 to 9, let's say, for example, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying you'd move that trade back up, assuming that you get one of the top 3 receivers who would be in play at 6 anyway.
Yes, I think I would do that.
Yeah.
I think. In a vacuum, if you give me that, would I trade my 2 and my 3 for that pick at 23? Yes, I would probably.
And then the other thing that, you know, has been... I feel like buzzing on Twitter for the past week. If the Giants or any team were to move down to 12 with the Denver Broncos, a deal with Patrick Surtain going to the other team,
yeah,
that would be something I would very much strongly consider, because the thought of having Deontay Banks and Patrick Surtain as the 2 starting corners, that does it for me. Sign me up for that.
So I will openly admit this. I'm stealing this from Tony Pauline in his final mock draft that we did on draft season. The Eagles apparently are looking hard to move up for a corner, which is understandable. They never pick corners in the first round, but they really need one, so I get it. I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to get up to get one of these quarterbacks. Let's say they're unable to move up. I think then I could see the Eagles and the Broncos swapping, the Broncos moving down. They don't have a second-round pick, remember. Mm-hmm. So they get the Eagles 2. They slide from... 12 to the Broncos are pick, the Eagles are picking at 22, and then they draft Bo Nix at 22, but they get a second round pick out of the deal.
Yeah, I can see that. I thought you were gonna say and Surtain ends up in Philadelphia.
No, I was gonna start tearing up a little bit at the thought of that. Let's not even talk about that, please. 201-939-4513. Coach Marvin's in Delaware. Hi, Coach.
How you doing, John, Matt? How y'all doing?
We're good.
Good. How are you?
Okay. I'm okay.
We got to be quick today, Coach, okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll be cautious about trading up to get one of the quarterbacks, because you better be right with those. I told you last Tuesday, John, about how many quarterbacks since 1989, 34 first-round quarterbacks has done great or well. That's it. 34.
If you do that, you're pushing all your chips into the middle of the table. You are doing the full Jim Fossil treatment, and you are just going all in. And that's where you're at.
Exactly. And I don't want to do that, because we don't have enough to give to get up there. I get that. So whatever they do. I like all 3 receivers. Doesn't matter which one of the 3. The one I'm going to root for is Marvin Harrison. Reason I think he could fall if somebody trades up, and then the Chargers surprise us and take a lineman. That we don't know what's going to happen.
And by the way, so Coach, real quick, just for the record, there's a chance that the Cardinals like Nabers better than Marvin Harrison. Like, that is not impossible.
That's right. I was going to say that, John. Thank you. You said it right. So those are the guys I would like. My surprise pick would probably be, if they go down, the surprise pick will be Quinyon Mitchell for me.
I love
that. That's Mitchell. Who I think they may go to. And my last thing, I'd like to give a shout out to John DiVincenzo. He's the brother of Dante. And good luck to the Knicks tonight.
Did you coach John, his brother, or something like that?
No, I just met him about a week and a half ago, so me and him communicate back and forth. So they're here in Delaware. I didn't know they lived here.
Oh, neither did I. That's interesting.
Yeah, and he was introduced to me. So me and him exchanged numbers, and I told him I'd do this show. So he may be listening to the show. So if John is, good luck. Tell your brother good luck tonight.
Yeah, John, I don't know if you're aware, but I appreciate the call, Coach. I'm as big of a Knicks fan as you get. I'm a season ticket holder. I was at games 1 and 2. I think I blacked out when Dante had that 3 and did at the game at the end of game 2. It was pretty awesome. And Coach, appreciate the call, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully Jalen figures things out tonight, and you can give me a really nice draft, and I get the Giants a weapon, have the Knicks a comfortable 3-0 lead, and I don't have to sweat this series out. That'd be nice. Now, Matt, unfortunately, is a Nets fan, so.
Unfortunately.
Are you rooting heavy against the Knicks?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm not a Nets fan that
I wasn't
hates
sure
the
if
Knicks.
You were one of those Nets fans that just can't
So I grew up right near Giant Stadium over here, so I grew up going to Nets and Devils games as
you.
A kid. Those are still the two teams I root for, but I'm pulling for the Knicks and Rangers.
So you probably were at your really getting into sports in the Jason Kidd, Kerry Kittles, Richard Jefferson.
Teams, I mean, right? I do remember the Stephon Marbury days.
Okay.
But yes, I was going to all those playoff games with Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin, Vince Carter. I mean, those were the good old days for us Nets fans.
They were. 2-1. Unfortunately, you ran into Shaq and Kobe.
And then Tim Duncan the next year.
Yes, and much like the teams that ran into those players, it did not go well. No. Because it's hard to match up with those guys. Knicks had the same thing when they ran into Tim Duncan in 99, so I feel your pain. 201-939-4513. Tim in Charleston. Tim, how you doing, man? Hope you're well.
Hey, yeah, John, thank you. I haven't talked to you since I was in the hospital. I've been out now almost a month.
And, that's great, man.
Still with a walker, but I'm working on it.
That's great.
Like, I'm going to be trying to be quick to just go through my thoughts, but I do have a couple of questions on K2 guys.
All right, go right ahead.
So first round, I'm a stick and pick guy, grab a receiver. Obviously, if Harrison falls, that's easy. Otherwise, I'm a DeDunias guy. So jumping right to round two, I like Sandra still because I feel like, by that time, there's going to be like five edge corners gone, at least, maybe six. And I thought Sanistro would be the perfect guy to just solidify that slot and throw numbers at the other edge.
Tim, he is my number one second round corner. I have him ranked as my 39th best player. I'm a big Sanistro guy, so I'm with you on that.
The only problem for me is, you know, I did like 30-plus PFFs, and he was always there until the last week, and now people are talking him up, and I've heard him go high as late in the first round. So he's been gone for the last week in my mocks, and on the mocks I've heard on your shows pretty much most of the time. So my second pick there might be Tyler Nubian, who I think, you know, just gives us a solid core of safeties, and then we got to figure out the corner class.
I have three safeties in the second round, Tim. I have Hicks, Bullard, and then Nubin in that order.
Okay. And then the other one who, if he's still there, although I'm more inclined to go third round for a defensive interior guy, is Braden Fisk. But the question I have is, if Bo Nix is sitting there, do you jump on him and say, okay, we'll wait on the other guys? So that's a question.
That's a good question.
And then You want to answer it now, or you want me to go to my...
Now finish up, and then we'll answer after you're off.
Yeah, no problem. That works.
Yep.
So then in the third round, the guy who seems to always be there, and I've only heard a little bit on him, so I'd like to hear a little more, is Brandon Dorlus, and then a few times Ruka Ohororo, if I said that right,
yep,
are there. So, and the other guys I have there are Christian Haynes, obviously a great guard if you don't get one of your defense or interior guys, but I basically was receiver, cornerback, and I know you can't pick by position, but that was my inclination. And then also I had my eye on Jalen Wright. His numbers are great. He's supposed to be a good pass protect guy, decent amount of reception, so I kind of like him. And then the quarterback question that round would be, if Rat was there, do you throw caution to the wind and say, let's get a guy that maybe we can develop? So I'll take your answers off the air. Thanks for taking my call, and hopefully once the draft is done, you'll start hearing from me every week again.
Awesome. Thank you, Tim. I have Nixon Penix as my 37th and 38th players. So theoretically, if they're there at 47, you're getting good value there. I don't know, though. I mean, yes, I think I would. I think even though I had Nix technically with a better grade than Penix, I think Penix has more of an upside to him.
Yep.
So I think I'd be more willing to roll the dice there, to be totally honest with you, just because I think he's got a bigger arm and better physical tools. Yes, I could be convinced, but I don't think either guy will be there when the Giants pick at 47. And honestly, I think Rattler is a good dart throw. I think you have more important needs to fill in the third round. I'd rather pick a position player, I think.
I agree. I mean, you don't, as we've said, you don't take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. And that goes for the first round, second round, third round, any round in the draft.
A little more leeway in day two than you have in day one.
Definitely. But you still don't want to force a pick because, you know, the 47th pick and the 70th pick, those are guys that you expect to contribute.
Start, contribute
as soon as, you know, this season. And, you know, taking someone like Spencer Rattler, while he could eventually develop into a very, you know, solid quarterback, starting quarterback in the NFL, that's not a guy that's going to help you in 2024.
Like, I have, for example, I have Chris Jenkins as my 68th best player and Braylon Trice as my 70th best player. Those are guys that can come and help you, a defensive tackle and edge rusher, right away.
Chris Jenkins in the third round, I would like that a lot. The one thing I just want to keep or make sure that everyone, you know, is somewhat wary of is, I believe it's right after this weekend that free agent signings no longer count towards compensatory picks.
Which doesn't really impact the Giants because they've kind of already zeroed that out a little bit for the most part. But for other teams, it matters more.
Yeah. So there will be more free agent action, I think, as soon as next week.
Well, and teams know what holes they have too after the draft is over, which is also a factor.
Yeah. Right? So I do think that one thing to keep in mind is which veterans are out there, at which positions have numerous veterans still out there that are going to get signed and be, you know, very solid to good starting players this season. I mean,
I think you got a better chance at defensive tackle than you have at corner. And I think you have a better chance at safety than you have at corner.
I was going to say safety in particular. There are a lot of very good safety still out there on the free agent market where if, you know, the Giants clear some cap space and are able to make some moves in the near future, that could be a position that they would like to target in free agency, just because, as I said, there are numerous guys. You're looking up Justin Simmons.
I was just making sure he hadn't signed yet.
No,
he's just double checking.
He's still out there. who's the Jordan Poyer signed, but the other Buffalo safety,
Micah Hyde,
he's still out there. Like, yeah. There are some very good free agent safeties out there where I would be more inclined to try to address other positions in the draft, especially on the first 2 days. And if there are positions that are needs for the Giants that could be filled in free agency, I would, you know, go down that route.
I think
safety in particular.
You have to draft a corner, Matt. Like, you have to figure out a way to get a corner in this draft.
I agree with. You know,
it doesn't have to be in any particular round, but you have to get one.
Yeah, it's not going to be at six.
No,
I don't think. But whether they trade down or whether they decide to attack corner in sometime tomorrow in day two. Could fully see that happening. Again, dream scenario, somehow the Giants end up with Patrick Surtain. Not counting on that happening. But yeah, just wanted to, you know, make sure people were aware that we're going to start seeing, you know, it's free agency slow down the last couple weeks, but we're going to start seeing it pick up as soon as next week with the compensatory picks no longer being a factor.
Good point. I like Christian Haynes. I got a second round grade on him at guard that he mentioned. Jaylen Wright at running back. I think I have a third, fourth round, kind of in that area, kind of a speed guy, if you want a speed guy. I think those are most of the guys that Tim mentioned.
We've talked about the running back position. I know I've said in the past, and I still stick by it, I'd rather, you know, attempt to attack that position in round four. But as you've mentioned,
I'm with you on that.
From picks like 50 to 100 is when a lot of running backs are going to start to go and they're going to continue to go. Like, we could see a run of, you know, eight running backs.
My first running back is at pick 70 is my player 72 on my board. Then between players 72 and 99, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
See, there you go. So I at 108, you know, all of those eight running backs might be gone.
I would say chances are not all eight are gone, but they could easily go. But in an ideal world, wait till round four.
I agree with you.
Hopefully get one of those running backs.
I'm with you. Because look, you have a Devin Singletary, you drafted Eric Gray last year. It's not like you have like a need where you need a starter right now.
Exactly.
So, I'm with you 100%. Joseph in Glen Falls, he's up next. Hi, Joe.
How you doing?
We're great. What's on your mind?
Hats off to the BBK team, the whole team and their guests. Phenomenal job.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
If the board falls where Harrison's there, Harrison or Malik Nabers, if Harrison's not there,
I would definitely.
Now, what would we get if we move back to seven or eight or nine?
If team trying to move up to pick Harrison?
Yeah. Or Nabers, say Harrison's not there.
I think you're probably looking, you're moving down to seven, maybe you're getting like a third round pick maybe. Same thing for eight. You go down to nine. I did the math on this the other day. I just got to find what the what my thing was.
Likely a day two pick.
I would be open to Bowers and one of those receivers you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah, if you get into that area, I think Bowers would certainly be in the equation. For sure.
Yeah, but and then picking up a receiver at 47, and then you got the extra pick, two extra day three picks, day two picks at three.
Yeah.
And you go with your, so you're really solving a lot, and you're getting your stud. Yeah.
No, that could definitely.
The team is screaming for a stud on offense.
Yeah, to nine is 250 points on the trade chart. That would be a third round pick, but the Bears don't have a third round pick, so that would have to be something that they would have to figure out how they want to work that. Oh no, they do. That would be pick 75, and that would get you most of the way. You probably have to be like a three and a five. You'd probably get from going from 6 to 9 on the old Jimmy Johnson trade chart. So. That's not bad.
But again, if there are multiple teams calling trying to get that pick, that obviously drives the price up.
Sure, absolutely.
Then you might get a little bit more than that. Yeah. And if Marvin Harrison is sitting there at 6, I would have to think that there would probably be more than one team calling.
I would not move.
No, I would not move either, but teams were certainly going to call and attempt to move up.
And I think the good thing about that, because let's say somehow you go through the first 5 picks and no wide receivers have been taken. Which, by the way, is not impossible. First four quarterbacks and the Chargers take Joe Alt, right?
Yep.
So then you feel, all right, well, I got 4 pass catchers, right? I got the 3 wide receivers and Bowers that I feel good about drafting any one of those 4 guys.
Yep.
So you know that if you move down to 9, you're guaranteed to get one of those guys. Still, if you got into 11, though, you still might not get one of those guys. All 4 might be gone in the next 5 picks. Like, that's not impossible.
Yeah, the 3 receivers, I would say, almost certainly will be gone. Like, I would be surprised if any of those receivers make it past the Jets at 10.
Now, the only way if the Titans pick an offensive lineman, Atlanta picks the defensive player, and the Bears pick a defensive player, that's how you get one of the wide receivers down to you.
If you're
I agree, but I would definitely be open to that pick with the trade with the Vikings, 11 and 23. Then I take my 11 and I move back up. And I end up with the extra first-round pick. And I give up my third-round pick.
Yeah.
I would do that.
I think we both would as well.
And you end up in the same scenario where you can pick up.
So you would trade pick 6.
You can get a defensive back and a 47. You can get your receiver.
So you're trading pick 6 and pick 70, and you're getting pick 11, and you're getting pick 23. That would be what that trade would be.
Yeah, I think I would do that.
Yeah. And then with your 47, you can pick up a receiver. With your 23, you pick up a stud defensive back. With your trade up, you get Bowers. That's huge.
No, I'm with you. Joseph, good call, my friend.
All right, good luck.
Appreciate it. We're getting a lot of different ideas here. What to do with this 6 pick. I like it. Very good.
I like it too.
All right, let's go to Charlie in Portland, Maine. He wanted to talk to Bob Poppy yesterday, but he didn't call on early enough, so we didn't get to his call. In fact, we never even screened this call because we ran out of time. We actually went over with Bob yesterday. Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, Matt. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, Charlie.
Have you talked to Charlie yet?
I think so, yeah. It's been a while. It's been a little few weeks at least.
Yeah, I think when you first started. Yeah. Look, this is how I see this going. I think Shane has put out a bunch of smoke on getting a quarterback in the first round. I think that's crap. They're going to pick a wide receiver at 6, and it's going to be Rome from Washington.
Well, Charlie, honestly, here's what I think is what's happened. I think Joe Shane, much like you said in this press conference, has called other teams ahead of him and said, look, if we want to trade up, what would the parameters be? So they've had those conversations. And once you start talking to other teams about something, that's when things tend to leak a little bit, and that's probably where reporters get wind that, oh, the Giants might be looking to trade up, because you're hearing from the other teams that the Giants have talked to that, oh, yeah, the Giants are in conversations. Now, that doesn't mean that the Giants are dead set on trading up. They might just be doing feelers. There's no way to know, but generally how this works with rumors and reports, that's generally where they come from, where people are like, oh, yeah, I talked to this GM who talked to the SGM who knows the Giants made a phone call to gauge if they could trade up to 4 or 3. What, you don't even know how serious they are about doing it. It's just something that kind of gets put through the grapevine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Joe even said in his press conference last week, he said that he was correct, straight up, that he was going to be placing all those phone calls to people, teams in front and behind, just to sort of see, you know, so they have all the options on the table, so they're not scrambling once they get on the clock. Or when they see a certain player drop somewhere, they're not scrambling to try to negotiate a trade then. All Joe said, all these trades are like basically pre-negotiated, so you don't have to waste time in the moment. You just call, see if both teams are on the same page, and then send it in, and then you're on the clock. So, yeah, especially the week of, there's a lot of smoke the week of the draft.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't think they're serious. Unless May fell through the door at 6, standing there, that would be the only quarterback they'd probably want. So they're going to take a wide receiver, and then they might think about trying to get a quarterback later, but Penix is not going to be there, Nix is not going to be there. So they're going into third round, fourth round, and they're going to get the rat or the brat. They're either going to get the rat or the brat, and we're going to end up with Rattler or Pratt. Yeah, that's who we're going to end up with. They're going to take a quarterback because they're going to say that, you know, look, especially if they get the rat, oh, he was like a Heisman Trophy candidate at one point, and we got a steal in the third round or fourth round for this guy. I can just hear it all now.
Charlie, I don't think they're dead set on having to draft a quarterback. I honestly really don't think they are. Could they? Yes, if the right guy is there. I don't think they're dead set on we have to draft somebody at that position because they sign Locke.
They should be. Daniel Jones's era is over. I mean, my God, two neck injuries, ACL, concussions, poor play, except for one game in Minnesota. One game against the worst NFL pass defense that year. And that's all anybody can talk about, one game, and I give you 40 others that he was god-awful. It's time to move on from this guy. And if they don't pick a quarterback, this franchise is going down the toilet, because until we get a quarterback, we're not doing nothing. And, Matt, you said, like, oh, if we got Surtain, well, what a duo. You think we're going to hold teams to 14 points even with those two guys? Because that's what we're going to have to do, because we only score 15, 16 points a game. We got to score points. And unless you change the quarterback, it ain't going to happen. And it doesn't matter what defense we have, we're not going to just give up 14 points a game.
Charlie,
period.
I have a question for you, though, Charlie.
Sure.
So you're saying that the Giants could end up drafting someone like Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler. Do you think either of those guys are going to help the Giants score, you know, 30 points a game this season?
No, they should be taking Michael Penix at 6 or McCarthy if he's sitting there. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be two top quarterbacks at least that we're going to pass on at 6. At
Charlie,
least.
How many top quarterbacks do you think are coming out of this draft class?
I think there's probably 5 top quarterbacks, maybe 6.
Has that ever happened in the has that ever happened in the history of the National Football League?
It doesn't matter if it happened or not. It could happen now.
It's possible. Yes, I'm just making the point how unlikely it is that
five
of the top 6.
That is.
No, I
50% of them are hit.
No, sure.
Right?
Well,
so 3 of them are going to hit.
Well,
that's percentage.
Well, 50% of the top 10 quarterbacks hit. You get into the end of the first round, top of the second round, you're looking at like a 15 to 20% hit rate.
Yeah, well,
best.
I'm not talking about taking them then. I'm talking about we've got a 6th round pick in the first round. There's going to be at least 2
close
top
enough
quarterbacks there. And if we pass on them, I mean, it's criminal. And Shane should be fired. And Dable, if he's going along with it, should be fired too. Because if we don't get a quarterback and we got stumbling, dumbling Gomer Jones out there, or Locke, I mean, the best quarterback on this team is DeVito, for God's sake, compared to those two.
Thank you for the call, Charlie. Appreciate it. We get your opinion. I'm not going to rehash this argument again and again.
I
agree to disagree, and that's fine.
I'll just want to make one quick point. Obviously, there are people out there that feel that way about Daniel Jones and the quarterback situation, and you know, you're obviously entitled to your opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Even if you do feel that way, though, that doesn't mean you should just force a quarterback pick just for the sake of trying to replace Daniel Jones. Like, Michael Penix, Bo Nix at 6, everyone around the entire country, I would think, would be like, that is over. They're overdrafting there. I know quarterbacks tend to rise, but we've never had 4 quarterbacks go in the top 5 of a draft before, and now you're going to have 5 go in the top 6 picks? Like, you don't take a quarterback. I'm going to keep saying you don't take one just to take one. Even if you feel that way about Daniel Jones, that it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go and attack that position this offseason. That could be something that they could, you know, give Daniel Jones one more year, and if he has a season like last season, then next offseason try to attack the quarterback position. And I'm saying this, if one of those top guys don't fall to you at 6, or if you can't move up for one of the top guys to, you know, 3 or 4 to get Drake May or McCarthy, whoever it is. You don't necessarily have to get a quarterback this offseason just to get one. You could build the team around him, have a very, very good foundation, core group of guys on both sides of the ball, and then try to attack the quarterback position next offseason if, you know, Daniel Jones, if you decide to move on from Daniel Jones at that point.
Just to give you an idea to what the consensus is, and we had Arif Hassan on last Friday, and he talked about his consensus big board. He's a reporter, used to be with The Athletic, now he's his own Substack, Wide Left, and he puts together how many analysts was he at? 75, I think, last I checked this. And he basically takes all their big boards together, and these are real people, these aren't just weird internet people, and he says, all right, what's the consensus rank of all these players? Not predictive mock drafts, we're talking evaluation. Mm-hmm. All right, and generally speaking, when you get these consensuses together, they're pretty accurate in determining who the best players are going to be, right? Do you have outliers sometimes? Absolutely. But more often than not, if you go too far off the consensus board, as one of our loyal listeners, Stephen Sperry, likes to say, you have the tendency to get yourself into some trouble. That's how it works. Consensus big board has J.J. McCarthy as the 23rd best player. Michael Penix Jr. is the 34th best player. Bo Nix is the 38th best player. 6th pick in the draft. 201. 939-4513. By the way, folks, Giants.com/tickets. If you want season tickets, go check it out. Become a season ticket member. A lot of benefits, all good stuff. Giants.com/tickets. And also, to check out all of our draft content, all of our podcasts, Giants YouTube channel, or download Giants TV, the Giants digital streaming app. It's on all your smart TVs, Apple TV, Fire TV, all that stuff. Also on the Giants app, Giants TV. That's where you get all your Giants video content. Make sure you check that out as well. We'll take your calls for the 5 minutes till about 1:40, and then we'll say goodbye. We got to eat some lunch, or at least I have to eat some lunch before the cafeteria closes. I think Matt ate before we started. So let's go to Bash in Ohio. Bash, what's going on, man?
How we doing, John? What's going on, Matt? I think I never called after Charlie. I just heard from Charlie. Yeah, I can't agree with what he was talking about as far as the quarterback, but...
Bash, luckily, I'm in a very zen mode right now. All the hay is in the barn. I'm feeling good we're making picks tonight, and I'm not going to let Charlie bother me. So I just sat here, I smiled, and I said, Charlie, thanks for the call. Because I've had this argument a million times, I didn't want to have it again. So, Bash, what do you have for us, my friend?
I was calling this. I wanted to talk about Neighbors in Rome. I love, as far as I know, everybody consensus feel like Giants is going to take Neighbors. But I like Rome in that position. But I think a lot of people talked about, I wanted to ask about Neighbors and get y'all take on it. As far as Neighbors, I interview that he had recently, I heard that he said, as far as the Giants taking like the caliber of wide receiver that he is, as far as that the Giants need to find a quarterback to get him the ball, or they would do that. It wasn't really anything about Daniel, so I wanted to ask about his character, because I know like more Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome are team players, as far as, and I feel like Neighbors, I'm getting more like an OBJ-ish diva, quarterback asking for the ball, wide receiver asking for the ball. And as far as the, like that, I see, and I want to know what y'all think as far as Shane with that pick. I know him with Brandon getting rid of Stephon Diggs over in the Bills, shifting into the Texans as far as that he is that same caliber. So I wanted to talk more about Neighbors' character.
I remember, remember when he was there, they also traded for Diggs. So when he was there, they brought the guy in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but Bash, what I would say about what I would say real quick about Neighbors' character, and then you could finish, is we've talked to people. We had our LSU reporter on, talking to people around. Diva is not the word anyone has used to describe him to me. He was not a five-star recruit. He went to a very small high school program in Louisiana. He had to work his way up. He's a blue-collar kid. He works his butt off. He's a hard worker. So he's not one of these guys that's going to take days off in practice and doesn't want to work hard. That's not the kid. So I would not put the diva wide receiver thing on him. Now, he's very self-confident, is my understanding. He's a quote-unquote dog, D-A-W-G, where he's got some self-confidence. He's got some edge to him, and he's got some attitude. So might it happen where he walks off the field once, he's not happy, and he'll say something about not getting the ball? That would not be out of the realm of possibility if that would happen, based on from what I've heard from people around the league. But you also want a guy with that type of attitude and approach playing wide receiver for you. I think Odunze is actually the safer pick because I think he's just got spotless. Like, he's such a clean prospect. You can't find much wrong with him. And I think he's a little bit more polished than Neighbors is too. I'm betting on the Neighbors' upside, where he's just such a freak show with the ball in his hands, which is why I can go either way on this, and I'm fine whichever guy they pick.
Yeah.
But that's how I would kind of compare and contrast the two guys.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to get your take on that because I love both their highlight tapes. As far as I feel like Neighbors is a great player, I just didn't want to, as far as that locker, as far as not quarterback, as far as getting a rookie quarterback or still having Jones and have. I know we want that X factor wide receiver, but I don't want nobody out there as far as I need the ball, I need the ball, I need the ball kind of player. And I feel like Rome would be a better fit with, I think a caller called earlier, as far as being a better fit for the wide receiver room that we already have in place.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I just wanted to say, as far as like Neighbors and Rome, as far as y'all take on that, as far as Neighbors being more of a asking for the ball kind of player instead of being a team player. And I appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call, man.
Thank you, Bash.
Always good to hear from you, Bash. And again, this will be a debate that, heck, you're going to have this debate for years, you know, based on which wide receiver goes before the other, and people are going to be comparing them and contrasting them. So I think it'll be really, really interesting.
I don't think you can go wrong with either
one. Nope, you can't.
Plain and simple.
I'm 1,000% on board. So either way, you're going to have a lot of really good stuff to talk about. Let's go to Bob in Long Island. He's up next. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
We're great, Bob. What's on your mind today, my man?
Season ticket holder.
Great.
28 season tickets between my family, my wife's family, and my two best friends.
Well, thank you for being such a loyal fan, Bob. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you calling.
Okay.
I'm sensing a butt coming.
Yeah. I just want to know, do you guys hear our boos every time Daniel Jones is out there laying an egg? You guys have to hear our boos. There isn't anybody in the parking lot that's a Daniel Jones fan. We never warmed up to him. It's over. If they don't go with a quarterback this year, that last caller, I don't know, he's from some other state. He's not buying tickets, but he's right on board with us. We have to draft the quarterback. We have to. If we allow Minnesota to leapfrog against us, the one good game we had, how ironic that would be, that they get J.J. McCarthy and we don't. If they draft J.J. McCarthy, we're buying his jersey tomorrow.
Bob, I have a question for you. I have a serious question for you. How good do you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be?
Well, let me ask you this question. Can we win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones? Do you believe that?
Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with J.J. McCarthy? That's the question.
We have to take a shot at it. And we have to continually take a shot at a quarterback until we get one.
Bob, I get that theory. You want to keep throwing darts at the quarterback?
Enough tape on him. Yeah, I think he's better than Daniel Jones as a rookie, and I can't wait until he steps on the field.
You realize when both guys came out of the draft, they basically had identical grades from people, right?
You know, Daniel Jones is from Duke. We went down that road with Brown, Dave Brown.
One has nothing to do with the other.
Who drafts a quarterback from Duke? That was ridiculous. We passed on quarterbacks in the past. We don't have Barkley. Who's the face of our franchise? We're already burning our jerseys for Barkley. We're going to have a wide receiver? A wide receiver? I don't care if you draft two wide receivers in the first round.
So you're saying a running back is more valuable than a wide receiver, Bob?
We are not putting points up, and nobody's buying that jersey.
I don't think the Giants are very concerned with who's buying what jerseys, to be quite honest with you, Bob. I think they're trying to build a winning team here, is what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
a team that could eventually win a Super Bowl.
You're not going to do it with a wide receiver. That's just plain and simple. He's going to catch 30, 35 balls his first year. That's it.
30 to 35? So he's going to catch half the number of balls that Darius Slayton caught?
Yeah, that's it. That's all a rookie's going to do his first year.
Wow, okay. That's something.
That's it. All right, let me ask you this question. There isn't an NFL team that thinks the Giants are afraid of Daniel Jones. He's never going to win us the Super Bowl. Ever.
Again, Bob, the point I've made on this show many times is that whether or not you draft a quarterback should not have to do with your evaluation of Daniel Jones. It's your evaluation of the quarterbacks that you're drafting.
And I'm fine with him. I did enough tape.
And that's fine.
I watched enough game film on him. He's convinced me. I think he's going to have a great career in the NFL.
Can you give me your player comparison for him? I'm just curious.
Can I give you, like, who's he compared to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, if you envision J.J. McCarthy's career 10 years from now, what player do you think he'll remind you of? It can be anybody over the last 20 or 30 years. You can pick any guy you want that you think J.J. McCarthy will remind you of anyone.
He reminds me of a very capable quarterback who's cool in the pocket, who can run. He's accurate. He's got a fantastic personality. He's just going to be the face of the franchise.
So a quarterback that can run, is accurate, he's got a good personality. Sounds like somebody.
He's got a great way about him. He can run. He's great in the pocket. He sees the field. He's dead accurate. You don't like his deep ball. Our offensive line is not fixed yet. We're not throwing deep anyway. Okay, he'll manage that in the future. But right now, we have to move on.
No, Bob, I totally get your opinion.
Nobody at the game wants Daniel Jones. Nobody.
Bob, thank you for the call.
We're there every week. John, we're there every week.
And Bob, you guys are great. The season ticket holders are awesome. You guys are great fans, and I really appreciate your opinion. And look, I like the fact, and again, appreciate the call, Bob, thank you, that you did the work on McCarthy, and if you think that he's the guy, and he's going to be a great quarterback that can win you a Super Bowl, by all means, you should think the Giants should go get that quarterback. And that's absolutely fine. Yeah. And by the way, my opinion doesn't mean garbage. neither does Cytex.
Nope.
Joe Shane and Brian Daboll know more about evaluating quarterbacks than all these dopes that are out here hosting the show, dopes calling the show. We all are, you know, novices in trying to figure the best thing out. As we've talked about over the course of this process, Matt, evaluating quarterbacks is the most difficult thing you can do.
Yes.
And the decision makers have more information and access to these players than we do. All we can do is watch them play football. I can watch their tape. We can watch their games. That's all we can do. Okay? We don't get to sit in meetings with the guys and evaluate how they process information, how they read the field, how they learn, how they're going to fit in the locker room, their injury history. All those things together. We don't have access to any of that. The decision makers do. And like I said a few weeks ago, I think I said it was on with you actually. Whatever Brian Daboll and Joe Shane decide in terms of what quarterback they think can lead this team, has the best chance of leading this team to a Super Bowl, I'm going to trust their judgment. I've given you my opinion, my analysis. There's a damn good chance I'm going to be wrong. I love Sam Darnold. That has not worked out for me. Okay? We're all wrong about stuff. I could very well be wrong about this, which is why I'm trying to not say you're wrong, Bob. You're not. It's your opinion. And J.J. McCarthy could, who knows, maybe he'll end up being the best quarterback in this class. I don't know. It's very possible. And if that happens, and in your scenario, and Giant fans are going to get mad, the Giants didn't go up and get this guy, if they don't, yeah, be mad. I totally get it. I totally get where you're coming from. All I can do is give you my evaluation, my opinion. But again, Matt and I are both going to yield to the expertise of Joe Shane and, of course, Brian Daboll's ability to evaluate quarterbacks and develop them when they eventually make this decision, whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I'll say this, as it's been talked about at length, but Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were both in Buffalo and both reportedly played a pretty significant role in the Bills drafting Josh Allen that required two trade-ups for them to get in the position to draft Josh Allen. Another one of the top guys in the front office, Brandon Brown, was in Philadelphia when the Eagles decided to take Jalen Hurts in the second round.
These guys are not running scared on finding a QB.
No.
If they want to.
Those three of the most important decision makers for tonight and this weekend have all seen what it's like to draft a quarterback. And at different places, you know, at seven, and it was Jalen Hurts 40 in the 40s.
And by the way,
second round,
I'll throw in the fact that Mike Kafka coached Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So he kind of knows what a really good quarterback looks like.
I'm bringing all this up to say you got to trust the guys that are making the decisions. If they decide, you know, whether it's to move up for a quarterback, whether it's stay at six and take someone like J.J. McCarthy, if they decide to do that, I, like you just said, I am, who am I to second guess that? I'm going to fully support it because those guys have forgotten more in the last day than I'll know in my lifetime.
Correct.
And I'm not afraid to admit that. You got to have faith in the people that are running the show. They know what it looks like to evaluate and scout quarterbacks, to draft quarterbacks, to develop quarterbacks.
And that doesn't mean you shouldn't have your opinion, by the way. You should have your opinion. Call us, express it. We love it. That's the back and forth we like.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But at the end of the day, you just have a little bit of faith in the guys running the show that if they decide that one of these quarterbacks is worth either a trade-up or sticking at six, taking the guy, taking them in the second round, just have a little bit of faith that they know what they're doing.
And it's clear they've considered it. I mean, John Mara got asked about it at the owners meeting. He goes, yeah, I give them a green light to pick a quarterback if they want.
Yeah,
sure, no problem. And they've clearly done all the work on these guys. And we'll see which quarterback, if any, they decide will be worth the pick at six or worth trading up for, or if they'd rather pick somebody at a different position. And my gosh, I think that's going to be the last thing we're going to say about this quarterback class before they make picks tonight. Hallelujah. Let's go to Scott in New Mexico. He's going to wrap us up today. Scott, well said, Matt.
Hi, guys. Just one personal comment, and then I'll let you guys go to lunch.
Yes.
Because I'll give you my first two picks. I'm getting sick and tired of people burying Daniel Jones until you have an offensive line in front of him. 85 sacks given up last year, I think. Worst run-blocking offensive line in NFL history. And people are complaining about Daniel Jones. I'm just getting so mad at the fact I don't care who the damn quarterback is. You have to have an offensive line.
No, Scott, look, you're right. And I didn't want to get into the whole thing after every call because we've been over this a million times. You're absolutely right. Yeah. He had no help last year. They made a big decision on Daniel Jones less than a year, like only slightly more than a year ago in terms of signing to this big contract. He played in six games last year, the two-thirds of which were without Andrew Thomas and Saquon Barkley, against some of the best teams in football, in the 49ers, the Dallas Cowboys, the Miami Dolphins, and it didn't go well. But there were reasons it didn't go well. And the idea that this organization would completely 180 their opinion on a player they just dedicated that type of contract to over a period of 14 months, it's just not a realistic proposition. I get fans can go that way and go that way that quickly because maybe they didn't believe in Daniel last year when they signed to the initial contract, but that's what these guys did. So they had a certain level of confidence and faith in him that is not just going to get erased because of five bad games when he had, to your point, crap going on around him and nothing good happening. So, yes, I didn't want to bring that up after every call because I wanted to move on, but yes, Scott, you are correct.
Let me give you my two picks so you guys can go to lunch.
Sure.
First pick, I watched the LSU Pro Day. It's unofficial, but supposedly Malik Nabers ran a 4.2840.
Well, he claims he ran a 4.28. The official numbers, right, I believe, were in the high 4.3s or 4.41 maybe, something
well,
like that.
Well, any guy, if he claims he did it. 4.37
maybe? Yeah. He claims it.
If he's fast.
If he did
he's
it.
He's fast.
It was probably his buddy. It was probably his buddy with the stopwatch in the stands. Like, oh, hey, ran a 4.28.
And any guy who, if he did run it, let's just say for argument's sake he did, okay? Anybody 200 pounds who runs a 4.28, that's Tyreek Hill on steroids. I take him over Marvin Harrison, and I take him over Dunze in deference
like
to...
It. Bold!
Deference to Matt's pick of Odunze.
4.38 is what Dane Brugler had him for on the 40 at his pro day. Okay. So.
But that, and he has moves, and that's the guy I would take for a second, round when they get to it. My guy is Cooper Beebe, and this is the reason why. He's in the Big 12. He was one of only three players to be offensive lineman of the conference 2 years in a row. And the only other players that did that is Creed Humphrey, the center for Kansas City, and Orlando Brown. He gave up 5 sacks in his career. That's about 1,400 snaps. And he gave 4 of those sacks up in his first year as a freshman. And you've seen him up close and personal, John. So
I'm a fan. He is my 46th ranked player on Top Guard in the second round, Scott.
Yeah, and I think that's what they need because he is a monster. And those are the 2 picks, and now you guys can go to lunch.
Thank you, Scott.
So, thanks, Scott.
Appreciate the call. Guys, you did a great job on the phones today. We had a lot of varied calls, different opinions. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. And I just quickly touched on what Scott brought up. You just said, I love Cooper Beebe. Sometime on day 2. I don't know if he's making it to round 3, so probably have to be the second round pick. But as Scott brought up, the offensive line clearly was an issue last year. There have been resources that have already been spent in free agency towards the offensive line. I don't think any fan could fault the Giants for spending a pick sometime on the first 2 days to even furthermore shore up the offensive line, whether it's another tackle or an interior guy. I don't think anyone could fault them for that.
I
certainly cannot.
No, me neither. So your predictions, Adunze?
I'm sticking with Adunze.
I'm going to go Neighbors.
I think it's going to be one of our 2 predictions. Barring, you know, some craziness.
I think it's Harrison.
Dom's going Harrison.
I mean, I would,
outside the box.
That'd be the dream, especially for Dan Salamone upstairs.
But. Oh my gosh!
Big that. Ohio State guy.
He would break through the door of the draft and like the Kool Aid guy wearing a Marvin Harrison Jr. Ohio State jersey
to give Joe a hug.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what he would do. For Matt Sitek, I'm John Schmoe. Thank you for joining us for a final Big Blue Kickoff Live before the 2024 NFL Draft. Pardon me, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. Thanks to Dom for coming early to do this. We all have long nights ahead of us, folks. Again, make sure you tune into our live draft show. It's going to come on right when the Giants make their pick, whenever that might be. If there's a trade or they stick and pick, we'll be on for a half an hour, and then we'll have our draft season first round review that'll pop up right before we leave tonight. So I probably won't get up till after midnight, folks, to be totally honest with you. So check that either tonight or when you wake up in the morning on your way to work.
And check out Giants.com all weekend. We'll have plenty of content tonight, tomorrow, before round 2 starts. We'll be here late all weekend. So
100%. And the Giants YouTube channel. We'll have the interviews with whoever the Giants draft. They'll be up on the YouTube channel, Giants app, all that stuff as well. So make sure you guys go check that out. Matt'll be burning the midnight oil, getting all that content that we are producing.
Can't wait.
Up on the website and writing some good stuff as well. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the first round of the draft tonight. I know we will.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck. Your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.